From the depths of Knuckle Drag, Oklahoma, a pissed off liberal named Bart Cop, and he brings you Bart Cop Radio.
Well, good evening, Truth Seekers. This is Air America Radio. My name is Mike Malloy. That's M-A-L-L-O-Y. There's no R in it. Thanks for joining us tonight. Glad you're here. I was talking to my daughter in Tampa earlier today, and she was talking about her son, my grandson, who is, how old is Jacob? Is he four? He's 4 years, almost five. He goes to preschool, has been going to preschool for a while. Lovely young lad. And in their little preschool, I just found this out today when I was talking to Wendy. On Tuesday, in his little preschool class, they held a mock election. Now, right away, it makes you wonder, what the hell is up with that? I mean, why is a preschool teacher having four-year-olds and five-year-olds hold them up? Okay, I'm sure there's probably a good idea behind it. I'm not going to doubt that. But anyway, they had a mock election in his preschool. And one of Jacob's little classmates watched Jacob choose the blue construction paper ballot that represented Kerry and put it in the box for Kerry. And the little kid came up to Jacob and said, John Kerry's a bloodsucker. John Kerry's a bloodsucker. And Wendy said Jake just kind of looked at him and decked him, did he? Bless the kid's heart. John Kerry's a bloodsucker. That's coming out of the mouth of a four-year-old? Oh, Jesus, the damage that the Bush cabal and the right-wingers, Republicans, have done to this country is inestimable. It's multi-generational, transgenerational. It's just, whatever. You probably heard today the humanitarian aid agency Doctors Without Borders says it is pulling out of Iraq because of escalating violence and the danger to its staff. The agency said in a statement that it had taken the decision, in their words, quote, in the light of the extreme risks taken in the country by humanitarian workers, unquote. The statement was released in Geneva, Switzerland, went on to say, we deeply regret that we are no longer able to bring medical aid to the Iraqi people when they need it the most. CARE has closed down. International Committee of the Red Cross is gone. This is George Bush's success in Iraq. In the meantime, the U.S. military is gearing up for a major assault against the city of Fallujah. There is going to be mega death. And the question remains, why? What is in Fallujah? Well, the insurgents. And what are the insurgents trying to do? Defeat America. Why are they trying to defeat America? Because soldiers are in their country. Why are soldiers in their country? To overthrow Saddam. Saddam is overthrown. He is in U.S. custody. So why are the soldiers still there? I don't know. A slaughter is coming. And again, this is Bush policy. Speaking of Bush, he had a press conference today. This arrogant little twit, we've got some sound for you tonight. Of George Bush, his first press conference, the swagger, the arrogance, the pinheadedness of this guy is just almost gagging. And the crack White House press corps sits there like what? Geese, sheep, frogs, turtles, roaches, snails? Pick something. Somebody help me out here. Pick a, what's the word, phylum? Is it phylum? Is that what I'm looking for, Kathy? You're the biologist. Phylum? Or is it species? It doesn't matter. Pick a creature. Spiders? Worms? The White House press corps sits there, right? They sit there. While Bush just, I don't know how to say this. I can't say it the way I want to because it's family radio. But he sits there and kind of twists it and breaks it off. And the White House press corps just takes it.
We an honor for me to be here along with Lynn and our whole family on this very special afternoon. This was an historic election, and once again, I have delivered the state of Wyoming for the Bush-Cheney ticket. This campaign has been a tremendously uplifting experience. We've carried the president's message of hope and optimism across the continent,
what?
Even to the Aloha State.
Hope and optimism?
We've worked hard and gained many new friends, and the result is now clear, a record voter turnout and a broad nationwide victory.
Okay, I'm done. Thank you very much. Hope and optimism was Dick Cheney's message. Gee, you know, I could have sworn his message was something like, if you vote for Kerry, you're going to get hit and hit hard. I could have sworn that the message was one of fear and division. I could have sworn the message was like, Armageddon is at your doorstep if you don't vote for us. I could have sworn that was it. I know everybody sounds really depressed, and you know what? I'm not depressed. I'm pissed. I got to tell you, I'm really, really pissed because I know that Ohio voted with those Diebold machines, and I'm not one that forgets things too often. And I remember when that creature from Diebold said in August that he would deliver all the electoral votes that Bush needed from Ohio right to their doorstep, and that's what happened. And Florida, I checked to see how many counties use Diebold, and, you know, there's no paper trail. There's just no paper trail. There's like 30 counties that use them here. So this sort of, you know, new voter registration and all these people standing in line for 10 hours and 6 hours and in the rain and in the cold to vote for the status quo. Yeah. You didn't do that. I know you didn't do it. I didn't do it either. We stood there because we wanted to vote for change. That's what motivated us. And what's really sick is the votes will never be traceable. It was like undetectable. It reminded me of Goodfellas when they talked about the Lufthansa heist, you know? And he goes, well, what about security? You're looking at it. And he says, what about the bills? Oh, it's completely untraceable, undetectable. Like nobody will ever know. And you know, look, these guys, they love one thing, and they love one thing more than, well, they love two things. They love war, and they love stealing. And I don't really think that America showed up in droves to vote for these guys. Now, I was trying to get in there last night, but apparently I was a guest on my own network, which really pissed me off. But I was trying. It was unconscionable, and I apologize. But honestly, I kept trying to get the message out. Ohio and Florida voted into black boxes. Ohio and Florida. Ohio and Florida. And I had, at the very beginning of the show yesterday, if you guys don't remember, the first thing I said out of my mouth was, I want to talk to people in Ohio. I want to talk to people in Ohio. I want to find out if you were satisfied with the way you voted. I want to find out how many people are being challenged. You know, the provisional ballots have never been looked at. And even Blackwell, who I told you, you're at the mercy of this guy, and that he was going to be, the new Catherine Harris. He was the new Republican Secretary of State over this new battleground state that had decided to vote with touchscreen machines owned by an Ohio company that the Ohio legislature tried to keep out of this election. And failed at their, you know, they weren't able to do so. Same thing in Florida. Same damn thing here. If you think that people in Florida stood in line for this many hours, stood in, and that people said, okay, how are we going to get our votes counted? Okay, we'll vote absentee. And that 37% of us used absentee. I voted in person, and it was a real empty experience, because after you cast your ballot, it was just gone. You had nothing. You had nothing to put in the box. But I felt optimistic that somebody somewhere would be checking and monitoring. I got a sick, sick feeling that it's untraceable. You just can't. This is why I think they waited until the morning. And this is why you got like a mixed message from Edwards and Kerry. Edwards, you know, quit his Senate seat to run for vice president because he was committed to doing this. And we lost everything last night. And I cannot believe that the American people had spoken yesterday, and that the message was, we have really bad grammar, and we like our presidents just like us. Real stupid. You had a chance. I mean, I believe America voted for hope, and I believe America voted for health care and not illness, and I believe that America voted for integrity, and that they didn't really vote for rigged rules for the rich. And I believe there was an opportunity for diplomacy, and I don't believe the American people chose war. And I don't think that the American people voted for bigotry over tolerance. And I don't believe that we showed up in droves when we had a chance to vote for solvency over bankruptcy, and we chose bankruptcy. And I don't believe that we voted against humility and voted for arrogance. I don't believe that we were offered wisdom and voted for stupidity. I don't believe we were offered good and we chose evil. I don't think we were offered hope and we chose fear. And now the message has been, you know, completely changed this morning. You just heard Cheney. They bought our message of hope. That was not your message. Your message was war and fear, and we would get hit again, and for a year we heard nothing but mushroom clouds and weapons of mass destruction that weren't there. America's not stupid.
Issue 3, winners and losers.
In an American election, there are no losers. Because whether or not our candidates are successful, the next morning, we all wake up as Americans.
Geez, no wonder he lost the election. That is just about the stupidest thing anyone's ever said. There are no losers in a political election? Gee, John, maybe that's why you lost, because you can't tell the difference. What an idiotic thing to say.
A pious sentiment, John, but let's get realistic. There are election losers. Here's one on my right, Lawrence O'Donnell. Do you want to name another election loser?
But I think the big loser in the presidential campaign was the truth. It was an unprecedented level of lying and distortion, whatever words people want to use for it. John Kerry came out and said he's for preemptive war, that nothing would stop him from doing preemptive war. And he identified in one debate what he called a global test where your countrymen, your people understand fully why you're doing what you're doing, and you can prove to the world you did it for legitimate reasons. That was lied about the next day as being requiring the approval of France, and people went along, the press went along with this, not exposing it for what it was.
Well, sure, we could argue all day on the press's responsibility and all this, but where the hell was Kerry? Why didn't Kerry mention it? Kerry has a mouth, he's got a microphone, he's got an audience. All he had to do was say something, but he refused. Again and again and a fucking again, John Kerry was afraid or, for some reason, chose not to bring shit up. What's wrong with him? If I'm not mistaken, that global test was in the second debate, and he had a chance to go to that third debate and say, George, why did you lie to those people? But he chose not to. He wanted to play Marcus of Queensberry rules or whatever that's called. He wanted to play nice. He wanted to play like a gentleman in politics as a blood sport. John Kerry brought a knife to a gunfight. That's an idiotic thing to do. And trust me, at some point there's got to be a statute of limitations of screaming at Kerry, but it is just so frustrating to know that he lost to the biggest idiot in the history of politics, the brutal murderer that murdered 100,000 Iraqi civilians, and he just chose not to bring up any of the crimes. What the hell's wrong with you, John? You clearly did not want to win this race, John. Why is that? Did your wife talk you out of it halfway through? Did you get to the middle of September, October, and your wife say, John, we don't want to win this race, and then you just laid down? Damn, that makes me mad.
I think the biggest loser in this election are moderate Clinton Democrats. I think the energy is now moved to the left side of the Democratic Party, and that the Democratic Leadership Council and the centrists and the Liebermans and even Buys and the rest are going to lose out in the competition for the leadership of the Democratic Party over the next few years.
I think, John, the big winners were, and Lawrence will not like this, the swift boat vets undoubtedly were the ones that took Kerry down.
You know, I guess you can't argue with the fact that the swift boat liars were the big winners here, but again, where the hell was Kerry? My God, you know, if that was Bart running for president and the sons of bitches said something like that about me, You know what I do. You know I grab the first microphone and say, you lying sons of bitches, show me some proof right now or get in front of me so I can kick your ass. Don't you dare lie to these people. But Carrie thought it would be better to ignore them. What was it, a month, 6 weeks? Again and again, these bastards with money from Karl Rove bought thousands and thousands of these commercials. Again and again, it was just drilled into America's head. And that's, again, I don't know how many times this show you're going to hear this, but why can't the Democrats learn to use the hammer? That's what the Swift Boat guys did. They took a dirty, rotten lie, and they beat it into people's heads 1,000 times. And pretty soon, it gets to be like good morning. Morning just follows good. And when you think John Kerry, you think lying traitor. And it just is so effective. But the Democrats can't figure that out. And Kerry couldn't figure out any way to say that's not true. Did you one time in your whole in this whole damn year, did you one time hear Kerry say that's not true? Did you ever hear him say that? I never did. And that pisses me off.
Big loser. Big media, and especially CBS, 60 Minutes, and Dan Rather, I think they've suffered real permanent damage.
And I don't think you can argue with that either. BartCop.com has never made as big a screw-up as Dan Rather and 60 Minutes did with that stupid memo gate. How could they be so damn stupid? If someone came to me and said, Bart, we got some secret documents here no one's ever seen, and these are so secret, and yeah. I would have gone on the .com and said, hey, I don't know if the... You remember when Larry Flint said the abortion story? What did I say? I said, I don't know if this is true. This is an email I got. It might be true. It might not be true. But maybe if we expose it, maybe somebody will know for sure and we can get into it. That's how I handled something I wasn't sure about. Now, here's these idiots at CBS. And I don't know how big an idiot Rather is, or there's rumors he took the fall for the girl that screwed this up. But how bad can you screw something like that up? And it just fed right into that bullshit from Fox News that all of the media is leftist when these idiots at CBS attacked Bush without having their ducks in a row. That stupid, idiotic schoolboy gaffe gave Bush immunity from the entire going AWOL while he was a drunken bastard charge. And once again, we just fuck everything up. What is wrong with our party? Swear to God, you could put Bart Cop in charge of the party, and we would have done better. I could not screw things up as much as Terry McAuliffe and Kerry and the rest of them, that idiot Bob Schrum and Mary Beth Cahill. They might all be nice people, but come totally inept. Have you ever seen a worse-run campaign? God, it's so frustrating. I could have done better. And any time I, you know... When you're watching baseball and you see a guy swing at a ball that hit the dirt before it got to the plate, you think to yourself, well, I don't play baseball, but even I wouldn't swing at a ball that hit the damn dirt before it got to the plate. So anytime you see someone else do something that is so stupid that even you could do better, it makes you wonder how they got to be a professional. How in the world, someone said, I might be in this McLaughlin show, we're mostly done, we're not going to hear the whole thing, but I think they said Bob Schrum is 9 losses in a row for running for president. So let's hire Schrum in 2008. Let's make him 10-for-10 loser. What's wrong with our stupid party? We keep hiring the same losers again and again to put the same candidate in the same damn tank again and again, and we keep fucking losing. Anyone else tired?
Is Hillary a winner?
Hillary's a winner because people are already sporting Hillary 2008 buttons. But another winner is Teresa Heinz Kerry, who I think never really was lusting after the White House. She's going to go back to her life and her lifestyle and be a lot happier.
Do you think that Hillary's too liberal or will be deemed such by the Democrats so that she will not be nominated and that she cannot, because she cannot carry the red state?
I don't think the struggle is over liberal. I don't think anybody looks at Kerry's misses and says he was too liberal. He didn't say anything clearly enough. The Democrats don't have message.
This is gonna wound you even more, O'Donnell. Don't you think, Patrick, that Zell Miller was a winner because he crossed lines in his party?
Well, sure. Zell Miller was a winner in 2004, the way Benedict Arnold was a winner back in 1785. Sure, that makes sense. Son of a bitch. He could have got, you know, it was all about the book. If he had been a Republican writing a book about how stupid the Democrats were, nobody would buy it. But since he's a Democrat talking about how stupid the Democrats are, and not stupid, but too left-wing, and he made up all this crap about, you know, he nominated Bill Clinton in 92 to be president, and now, oh, he can't stand how super, totally ultra-liberal Kerry is. You know, it's like he bought into that same bullshit. Michael Barone, who's usually on this show, the McLaughlin Group, Michael Barone made up that crap about Kerry's the most liberal man of all time and space. And once again, how many times do I have to say it? Kerry just stood there and took it and never once said, no, I'm not. Or where do you get your criteria? Why do you say that? By which measure am I the most liberal? No, he never once said that. Is that how you people fight in Boston? Can Bert Kopp kick the ass of every single man in Boston? Is that what it's like in Boston? You just take shit all day. You just let people walk on you and you just take it and you smile and you go eat some damn beans or some chowder. Is that what it's like in Boston? Boy, I tell you, you come to Oklahoma and you say something to somebody's face, you're going to be on the floor and you're going to be blood all over the place. I am not a fighter. I'm just saying that's how it is. I don't say things to people. I don't walk up to some cowboy in a saloon and tell him he's a drunk, ugly mother effer, because I know he's going to be on me. We're going to be on the floor and there's going to be broken glass. There's going to be broken furniture. There's going to be blood everywhere. So I don't do that. But for some reason, Kerry lays down and says, hey, anybody wants a piece of me, just go ahead and take it and I'll turn my back. This has to stop.
And he wound up in the winning camp?
He's a huge winner, and let me tell you also what a winner. The Republican convention was one of the most disciplined, focused, and as Tony said, ruthless, purposeful, and successful
sure
I've ever
was.
Seen.
Once again, Pat Buchanan is right. The Republican convention, NaziCon 2004, was a series of daggers through the heart. And the Pink 2-2 Democrat convention was a bunch of holding hands and singing Kumbaya. That's all we can do. We are the gelding party. We're afraid to fight. We don't have the courage to fight anything or anybody on any issue at any time for any reason. Of course we lost this. We're going to lose the next one, and the next one we're going to lose all the elections till the end of time until we decide to stand up and fight. I think I'm asking too much of this party to stand up and fight. Does anybody agree with that? Do you think we're going to go through 2008 with the son of a gun lying down again? Can we make whoever wins the nomination 2008, can we send him to Oklahoma and can I write up a vow and make the bastard sign it on live TV? I guarantee I will answer every attack. I promise I will fight. I promise I'm not going to get in every damn stupid-ass monkey suit that my idiot female campaign director puts me in. I guarantee I will win more states than Kerry did. I guarantee we would win the election if somebody would just agree to fight. Jesus Christ, you got two blueprints. Bill Clinton showed you how to do it. Did you forget? Do you not have videotape? You want Bart to buy a videotape and a video recorder? And you want me to play back for you the highlights of the 92 campaign and the 96 campaign? What is wrong with the Democrats? They can't remember back 8 years. How stupid can a Democrat be? Don't answer that.
Zell Miller's a winner, and I think John Edwards is a bit of a loser.
I don't have a lot of bad to say about John Edwards because he was on the team. When you agree to join, when Kerry says, will you be on my team, when you say the word yes, what you're saying is, I'll do what you tell me. If you say tone it down, I'll tone it down. I mean, you can't have the vice president nominee fighting the presidential nominee. That's just not going to work. So if Kerry said, we're going to lay down like little sheep, like little kidnapped girls coming home from school, then all John Edwards could say is, okay, yes, sir, boss, you're the boss. I agreed to do what you said. But on the other hand, why the hell couldn't they carry North Carolina? I mean, why bother to get a guy who can't carry his own state? What is the point? I mean, he could have had me as a vice president. I'm not going to carry Oklahoma either. So what good was John Edwards on the trail if he couldn't carry the one electoral vote from North Carolina?
Was Karl Rove one of the biggest winners?
Huge winner.
That sinister genius.
He's not sinister, but he is a genius.
That cunning mastermind.
I'm speaking on part of the women, too. Laura Bush, big winner. She helped deliver this victory for President Bush.
True.
And she's a very calming influence in his life.
Very
no,
true.
Nothing not to like about Laura Bush.
And now here goes Eleanor, giving aid and comfort to the enemy. I don't have a big problem with pickles. I mean, the fact that she murdered her boyfriend, that's got nothing to do with me, and it's got nothing to do with her position in the White House. But why does our side go out of our way to say the other guy's wife is pure gold that everybody loves? There's not a Republican on the planet that would ever, ever say one nice thing about Hillary Clinton or Mrs. Gore or Mrs. Kerry. It just would not happen no matter what till the end of time. But of course, we're liberals. We got to be nice. We got to be neato cool. We got to be friends with the enemy. We got to say what's on our mind if it helps the bad guys. Oh, I just want to either start a new party or just shoot myself. What do you think I should do?
Force prediction. Who is the Democratic Party leader for the next 4 years? Pat Buchanan.
The titular leader is either Clinton or Kerry. I believe it's Bill Clinton.
Eleanor.
The titular leader is John Kerry, but it's Hillary Clinton behind the scenes by default.
You said it. Go ahead.
I think Howard Dean will emerge.
Really?
And his organization.
John Kerry is the first losing presidential candidate to not be unemployed. He is going to be the functional leader in the United States Senate.
No, no, no. We can't allow that. We can't allow the man who refuses to fight for any reason under any conditions to lead our party. That's guaranteed to be a disaster. What is it going to take to get someone to stand up and fight? It's not like the other guy's a decent guy and all we got to do is be decent and play fair. No, the other team are murdering sons of bitches. Maybe Paul Wellstone should run. Oh, that's right. They murdered him. You see what I mean? Why are we doing this? Why are we laying down for these evil thugs?
I think Bill Clinton is back. Bye-bye.
Boy, it sure would be nice if that was true, if Bill Clinton could come back and take control of the party. You know, that was one of our biggest problems during impeachment, is the only guy on our entire side that knew how to fight was the guy with the charge against him. He couldn't really defend himself. He couldn't come out as president every day and give the 9 or 10 reasons why the other guys were lying. He left that up to his party, and look what happened. Oh, God. If you'd have given a nickel or a dime to every Democratic senator, they would have voted to impeach Clinton for a dime. That's how much loyalty they had to him. Could somebody list for me the good qualities of the Democrats? They're not loyal. They're not smart. They're not cunning. They're not devious. They don't want to win. They have no motivation. They don't give a flying damn about their constituents. Can someone name anything that's good about our party? Well, let's stick to the Senate Democrats. Can anyone name anything good about a Senate Democrat? Oh, let's have a contest. I'll give you to the end of 2005. First person that can think of one positive thing about a Senate Democrat wins a car.
Radio. If you don't know, we're not going to tell you.